Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Club Junkie Podcast. I'm hoping this sounds pretty good because I'm actually in the office. I'm in a conference room, and I have no power at my house. So I'm recording this this morning on Thursday. No power at my house. I haven't had it since Monday. We had Metro Detroit had some storms roll through, some like 60, 70 mile an hour winds in places. And a couple tree limbs fell on the power line that connects my house to the pole, power pole. And I have no power in my house. Unfortunately, the rest of my neighborhood went out of power like the next day. So it's not great. Supposedly it's supposed to come on today, but again, I don't have a line connected to my house. So we'll see. We'll see if I have power by the end of the day today. But unfortunately, I'm recording here in this conference room. I know it's extremely sterile looking if you're watching this on YouTube, because it's just a white background. I'm missing all the cool golf stuff and shafts and all that. But you know what? We'll get through it. So anyway, before we get into this episode, just want to let you know this episode brought to you by Titleist and the Pro V1. We all have different ability levels and goals, but one thing we share is a desire to bring our best every time we tee it up. And it all starts with choosing a golf ball that you can trust. The Pro V1 is the best combination of speed, spin, and feel in the game. And the X gives you a higher flight and firmer feel, both delivering long distance, consistent flight, soft feel, and all-important drop and stop greenside control. So whether you're Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, or Nelly Korda competing at the game's highest levels, or simply striving to be the best you can be, tee up a Pro V1 or Pro V1X and always bring your best. So yeah, it's been an interesting week here this week. I've been living at my in-laws. I truly appreciate that I have really good in-laws that I like and love being around, and they love my daughter and all that, because we've been living at their house since Monday, which is, it's always interesting when you have to, move into someone else's house and kind of take over. We kind of take over. I mean, there's three of us and a two and a half, almost three-year-old who literally tries to run everything. So I know we're messing up their morning routines and evening routines and all that, but they've been very generous to let us stay and hang out. And it's like I said, we'll get through the next couple of days, I hope. The downside is that you go in and you toss out like pretty much all of our food in our freezers and fridges and all that, and that was kind of a bummer. We did save a lot of like the more expensive stuff, the meats, the more expensive stuff to replace. We did save that, get it into other people's freezers. And again, it's just nice to have a family that lives close by that you can kind of, they can count on, and they can help you out in situations like that. So, so enough about my personal life. But no, it's been a busy week. Tursky was just in town yesterday. He kind of flew in, flew out. We did a little content shooting thing, so we'll see some stuff pop up on Golf the Beer X. And then I played a little bit of golf. I played in my league last week. I played in and then I played Saturday with just my dad in the morning down at Bella Vista, and it was a good time. It's funny that nowadays, as we get older, in terms of my dad and I and whatever, we can enjoy playing bad golf together, because neither one of us played well on Saturday. Last Saturday, we neither one of us played well, but we got we had some laughs. We enjoyed our round, and I think we both just have fun hanging out. So it was a good time. Bella Vista was not kind, and unfortunately, it was a couple shots that weren't even my fault. That I don't even know if they were bad shots necessarily. But we play super early. I mean, we try to tee off at 7 a.m. and at 7 a.m. especially depending on those holes, you can be going like right into the rising sun. And there was actually one or two drives or shots that, I mean, we really had to like stand behind each other, block out the sun, watch each other's shots, because it was so easy to lose them on hole 11, which you got to hit a pretty good drive through a chute. I hit it a little left and we never saw it. And there is a pond over to the left, so I'm assuming I hit it too far left and put it in the pond, but had no idea where it went. We just kind of drove around for 30, 40 seconds, and then that was it, because there's no point. We didn't see it, and we were playing pretty quick, so off we went. But we played in like, I want to say we played in like 2 hours and 40 minutes or something like that, and we actually caught up to, they let people off the back nine on Saturday mornings who are just playing nine holes, and I don't think they expect a really, really fast twosome to catch them, but we caught them. And unfortunately, it was looked like a guy and his son, and the son didn't look like he was much, you know, didn't play too much golf. He was kind of being shown around by the dad and all that. But it was you know, they saw us on I can't remember what hole it was. I think it was like 13 or 14. They kind of saw us and then started moving a little quicker. I think the lesson became a little less detailed and more let's just keep rolling. But it was a good time. So, like I said, didn't play well. I brought two of my drivers. I'm still right now hitting Ventus Red TR really well. I've got to put it in my TSR head. I meant to do it that day. I didn't. I might do it this weekend. I'm going to play on Saturday. I just got to like find some time. I've just been busy with going from house to house, and just, you know, it's been kind of a whirlwind week, which is again why this episode is a little bit of a cop out. I'm going to go ahead and I kind of sourced questions from you guys off my Instagram page. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, it's at Club Junkie Pod. And I kind of sourced stuff from you guys because I didn't have a whole lot to talk about because this week has just been an absolute mess. So I appreciate everybody here who sent in some questions. I don't know if I'll hit every single one of them, just because there are a lot, and there are some, you know, there's some good ones. There's some one, you know, what some other one. I mean, they're all good questions. I mean, everything is, but I just don't know if I'll be able to hit everything. So, you know, we'll go ahead and answer some questions and get into it. But like I said, this week is just a little different for me. But I definitely wanted to get a podcast out there and at least, you know, talk a little golf. I mean, I haven't, I think this is probably one of the first weeks that I've talked very little golf outside of work or anything like that. So definitely a little different week for me. But again, if you're not following me at Club Junkie Pod, usually on Wednesdays I do a Q&A session anyway. I didn't unfortunately get to do it this week because yesterday I was filming with Tursky, and I just don't know if I'll be able to do it today. I got a lot of stuff on the plate in terms of work around here at WRX, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do one today. We'll see. And then heading off to play in the old league, and then, you know, we'll and then Friday, and then it's Labor Day weekend. So hopefully your Labor Day will be a little, you know, hopefully you have a long Labor Day and you'll be able to enjoy it, maybe play a little golf. It could be good, but we'll get into some great questions here, and we'll start off with the first one, which is kind of an interesting question from you know, Brandon J. Murphy. I guess I'm going to give everybody a shout out there. And but he said, "Crystal ball, what's in the bag in 10 years?" 10 years is a long time in golf, and I feel like if you look back 10 years to like 2010 products to now. I mean, there was a lot of massive changes. There's a lot of stuff that maybe hasn't changed a ton since then as well. But I think I think we're going to be looking at some in 10 years of really interesting stuff in terms of materials and things like that are into all clubs, not just drivers and all that. I think you're going to see a lot of different materials, different components, things like that go into, you know, not only drivers but fairways, irons, hybrids, putters, wedges, I mean, everything. I mean, I think there's really going to be, in that time, such a big jump in manufacturing and engineering and, you know, computer design and stuff like that, that we're going to be looking at some pretty wild clubs. I don't think the shapes are overall going to change a whole lot. We may see a little craziness to maybe some wedges or something like that as they, you know, fine-tune stuff. The high toe looks and things like that may get a little different or a little stranger look. I think some of the millings on the faces and things like that will be really, really interesting. I think the whole 3D printing side of it can add a whole different dynamic to, you know, making hollow body stuff and different designs and things like that you can't really cast or forge those shapes. So, I you know, what's in the bag? It's going to be really hard because I think there's going to be a lot of just seeing what's out there. I mean, I think you're going to see more carbon. You know, we've already seen Lab come out with a carbon putter. We've, you know, got TaylorMade with carbon faces. I think we're going to see different material, you know, different metals in there possibly. But I think there's a lot that goes into it. So to say what's in the bag in 10 years, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be really interesting. I think, like I said, the ball technology, I mean, everything technology-wise, you know, from where we were to 10 years from now is going to be really, really interesting and really exciting to kind of see. You know, and then, you know, to see what companies do what companies are around and what aren't. I mean, remember 10 years ago we had Adams, and then they're no longer around. And so the whole landscape of golf can really change in 10 years. And, you know, so we'll see. So what's in the bag will be really, really tough. I don't think I'm able to say. I mean, the funny thing is that in terms of 10 years out, I don't even think the OEMs have stuff that's 10 years out in terms of development. I mean, they're probably developing technologies or just now maybe touching on technologies they may use in 10 years, but I don't even think they've got, you know, anything on that far out in advance. I mean, in talking from people, the OEMs, I think they look at, like, you know, in terms of actual models, I think it's like 3 years out, around that, 3 to 4. They've got at least in kind of the pipeline, but yeah, in 10 years, who knows? Like I said, we could be playing on artificial turf courses and, you know, wherever. I mean, there's just so much out there that that'll be really interesting. I mean, you know, you look at the southwest of the country and, you know, the water issues and things like that. I mean, we could be, like I said, playing on artificial courses, you know, out there, or, you know, be playing in totally different conditions. So it'll be really interesting to see. 10 years is, I wish I could remember to kind of like pinpoint this conversation now and kind of take a snapshot of what golf looks like here and then 10 years from now, because the 10-year jump, you know, before was pretty big. And I think with the way manufacturing is ramped up and the technology and just the manufacturing side, I think we're going to see bigger and brighter ideas to come. So in terms of actual what's in the bag, I don't know. I will have to say I'll probably still be on a 3-wood hunt. So I'll probably still be searching for a 3-wood, but we'll see. I'll also be 51 years old. So my what's in the bag is probably going to look way different. I'm probably going to have a lot more fairway woods, probably have a lot fewer or bigger, you know, more forgiving irons, but I probably won't be playing blades, that's for sure. And there still will be blades. I think there still will be blades. They'll just be a little more high tech. So, I'm just gonna mess up names. So hopefully you're all right with it. Mika Dewal 99. How much of a difference would it make if a tour pro used poorly fitted shafts, irons, and woods? From what I've been told by fitters, guys like Trotty, guys like you know, Johnny Wonders, and those guys out there who are on tour every day with these tour players. It would make a difference, but not really. They are so good and so adaptable to whatever changes you make, whether it's lies, whether it's a golf ball, whether whatever. If you gave them enough time with that product, they will find a way to hit it, and they will find a way to hit it correctly, and they find a way to hit it really well. I think it would, you know, would they go out and shoot, you know, win majors with stuff that is not fitted? Maybe not. But to say they wouldn't be competitive in a tournament, I don't think that's the case. It would just take a little bit of time. If you gave, you know, a Justin Thomas a, you know, more poorly fitted driver, he'd figure out the way to hit it. And they have such good muscle memory, and there's such repeatability, and their just the athleticism is so good that it is one of those things where they will just figure out the way to hit it, and they'll make it work. So in terms of overall, how will it affect them? I think, sure, the first round, and if they have no time to practice or anything like that, and you just hand them a bag of clubs and go out and play, I think they still go out and beat any of us with absolutely no problem. And then if you give them time to work on, you know, hitting those clubs and hitting the shots they need and want to hit, I think they can get somewhat competitive in a tournament round if given enough time to hit those things. So they just play a totally different game. Their consistency, their ability to see things in shots that we just don't see, and to be able to and to have those little minute things matter as much as they do to their shots, is just so much different than what we do out there on a day-to-day basis. That it's just a different game. It's just really amazing how good these players are and how consistent they are and how adaptable they are. So in terms of, you know, how would it affect them, I don't think it would change a whole lot. I mean, you know, again, if you gave Tiger terribly fitting clubs, would he have won all his majors? He probably still would have won a few. I don't know if he'd be at 15 at the moment, but he probably still would win a few. But those guys, you know, like I said, they can change much different. They can adapt much better than we can, and they can, you know, figure out how that club is going to react with their swing and then, like I said, alter it. And it's just, that's not something that everyone around at the amateur level can necessarily do. There may be some people out there who can, but not everybody can. So it doesn't make as huge of a deal. And then when they do get dialed in, I mean, you see how good they are. It's pretty amazing to see what those players can do out there with equipment that is truly dialed into to their game. So it's pretty amazing. It would be interesting to see like a tournament, kind of like a match, and like, you know, blindly you just get a bag of clubs, and the clubs are, you know, basically the same for both players, and they're totally, you know, wrong. So you grab like, you know, you'd probably have to grab two guys on the same staff. So you'd have to grab like a Thomas and a Spieth, or, you know, you'd have to go over and do like a Sam Burns and a Rahm or something like that. So you'd have to grab two guys off, you know, probably the same staff, but hand them a bag of clubs that, you know, that are totally not fit for them and make them go play a match. I think it'd be pretty interesting. But again, I think they'd shoot pretty decent with it. I think the ball would probably be the hardest thing for them to change. But again, if they can figure out, you know, hey, it only spins this much, or it only flies like this, or this is the window. Like I said, if you give them time with the product, it's not going to change a whole lot for those guys. One of the titles, so from A. Evans 9986, when are the TSRs coming out? We're going to see a lot more information very shortly. I don't know if, again, I, from what I've seen online from other media, I don't see that anybody's like giving out the date for embargo. So I'm not going to give it out, but it's coming very quickly. So I don't think you have to wait very long, and you will get a ton of information on the new TSR stuff. It is really good. I think people are going to be really impressed with it. But yeah, you don't have to wait too long to get kind of all the information, all the tech side of it, all that stuff. We'll be out here shortly. But yeah, like I said, I've seen a couple people like kind of, you know, tiptoe around the subject in the media world. I don't remember. I went through some emails. I didn't see like a specific thing from Titleist saying don't say this date, but also I don't see anybody saying it. So I'm going to err on the side of caution because I like my job, and I'm going to go ahead and not say the actual date, but just know that it's coming very soon. The Real Golfer of Palm Springs, can you test out the quote-unquote new ZebraGolf.com putters? Are they worth $220? So I heard the rumor that these guys were coming back out, the Zebra putters, and they kind of launched, it looks like, this year. So I actually had to go online and look at them because I hadn't looked at them before. And the first thing I noticed when you're asking, are they worth $220? The name attached to them, like the head engineer, it looks like, or at least one of the guys who's helping build these putters, is Austin Rollinson, who was at Odyssey for a very, very, very long time. He is an extremely talented engineer of golf putters and golf clubs and just an all-around really nice guy. And if he has, you know, been part of the team over there at Zebra, then those putters are probably going to be pretty good. I would not hesitate to put in play any putter that Austin Rollinson has kind of worked on or put his touch on or anything like that or had input on, because that guy has, you know, just today forgot more about putters than I will ever know. But he is an extremely talented man. I've met him a handful of times. Like I said, extremely nice guy too. Just one of the nicest guys in golf, but extremely talented. He was at Odyssey for a long, long time. Was huge part of how that, of why that line is so big. So, you know, if he's out there doing the design, you know, some of the design work, some of the engineering work and all that over there at Zebra, even if it's consulting on that stuff, the putters are probably pretty good. Now, are they worth $220? That's hard to say. I have not seen one. I have not rolled one. Like I said, I did some reading online of them with them. Some of the shapes and stuff like that look pretty good, look pretty decent. I mean, it's the Zebra look, so it's got, you know, multiple top, you know, lines on the top of it to help with alignment. That won't be everyone's cup of tea. I totally understand that. It's, in a sense, from photos, not mine, but I've kind of looked at clubs and photos before and then seen them in person and like them more. So I'm not going to go out and just say I don't like the look, but they are something that I typically don't run after in terms of alignment aids. But they've got some decent shapes. I mean, they've got everything from kind of the traditional blade down to the, you know, kind of typical mallet shapes, whether they have fangs, whether they have little wings on them. And then, like I said, they've got just a kind of a traditional blade as well that has the multiple zebra alignment lines on the flat back flange. The insert looks like it's like some type of polyurethane, plastic, TPU, something like that. I didn't get, from reading like the couple sites that I saw with them, I didn't see exactly what it was made of, but all the descriptions sound like it is kind of like it's not a metal material. It's not like, doesn't sound like it's aluminum, doesn't sound like it's steel, anything like that. So it should offer a pretty soft feel. It does have, they do have grooves on them that are supposed to help with roll. So like I said, anything on here that, from the AIT-1, which is kind of the old school round little half moon mallet that Zebra was famous for, to kind of a fang model, and then, some that looks like, some of the kind of more popular wing models and, or winged mallets, but they don't look too bad. Like I said, I mean, some people are going to say, oh, the alignment, whatever, and that's fine, but that's Zebra's thing. So if you're going to kind of, comment on that, that's what they do with their putters. So that's the technology. So, no, are they worth $220? I can't say. It looks like everything I've seen, they're kind of in the UK, so that I don't know if they have plans to come to the US or what, but I haven't found any that have like a US dollar mark on them. But it definitely they're decent looking putters. Like I said, the kind of the AIT-3 is probably the one, if I had to putt, if I was gonna putt with one, I'd probably putt with that one. It's definitely an interesting look, and interesting to see if it'll come. So let's see. Oh, here's the. Yeah, like I said, they've got the it's a multi-material insert, but again, I don't know with maybe it's steel and urethane. It's hard to tell like what there's in, because they say soft feel of urethane, responsive to the steel. It's two pieces. Maybe it will be a metal face with a TPU backing on there, but. Like I said, I haven't seen them in person. I haven't seen like a press release, anything like that. But they don't look too bad. And like I said, if Austie's helping out with them, they should be solid putters that roll the ball pretty well. So worth $220. That's kind of on the person and their wallet. But again, anything with like him attached to it, I would say that it's going to roll the ball pretty well. So yeah, the new Zebra Golf deck. So if you want to check them out, go to zebragolf.co.uk. And that's where the models are, but again, I don't know. I didn't see a site that had them for sale in the U.S. yet, but maybe that's coming. All right, from Shaftoid 82, when buying stock fairways / UWs, does the company tip the shafts accordingly? It's really depends. It kind of depends on the shaft, depends on the company, depends on a few factors like that. I know back in the day there were some companies that did not tip fairway woods, and then I've heard that they still don't. But the other side of that is when they build a fairway wood, a stock fairway wood, most of the time those shafts are built for that fairway wood, so it's not a driver shaft. They just cut it down and slap it in there. They actually have fairway shafts. They have driver shafts for stock stuff like that. Partly because, one, it's easier to just assemble that stuff with the shaft that it has or it needs. And then also, two, when they source some of the shafts from those big manufacturers for these stock clubs, they are built for the needs that those companies have, whether it's Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist, whoever. The stock shafts are built for the needs. So it may not be the exact same shaft that, you see either online or whatever, but they do have like fairway specific shafts as well. So the tipping may not be required for those. So there's a long way around it. Like now, if you go and order something totally custom, all that, I would think that they probably do tip it to whatever, whatever the recommended tipping instructions are from that manufacturer of the shaft. But for the stock stuff, it's probably based on a shaft that is made for that club, and they probably don't need to necessarily tip it because it's not necessarily a wood shaft or driver shaft that they're just cutting down and putting in there. It's probably built for that fairway wood. So, but everybody's a little different, and I haven't asked every manufacturer, so I don't know specifically if everyone does, no one does, who doesn't. I kind of asked the question to Johnny Wonder, I think, on a couple weeks ago about, because I think somebody asked specifically about Callaway doing it, and he said they did not necessarily tip the fairway shafts, at least the stock ones. So, but again, the stock ones may not be the exact, you know, a fairway shaft there could be specifically built for that fairway. So it's not something that they may have to tip for installing those. Connie Booj, again, I'm probably tearing up people's names, and I apologize. What five wood has the largest CC or footprint? I haven't looked at the CCs on every one of them. The two that jump out to me in terms of large, just from visually, I would say the Ping G425 Max. It's big. It's a big footprint, but it is kind of narrow, so I don't know if it's necessarily a huge fairway wood, but it does look pretty big. It is a little shallow. The face isn't crazy deep, but it is pretty big. It's pretty forgiving. It's really easy to launch in the air. And then the other one is the TaylorMade Stealth, not the Plus, not the titanium one, just the standard Stealth. That's actually a pretty good size for a 5-wood. It doesn't, you know, the 3-wood, the 5-wood, that size difference between the two isn't massive. But that one's decent size as well if you're looking for something that probably is a little more forgiving, anything like that. But those two kind of jump out to me just from seeing them, hitting them. I would say those two are probably on the bigger side. Like I said, I don't know if I've seen every single 5-wood from every single company. I mean, there's probably like a Hanma one or a Zexio that might be a little bigger, but it doesn't jump out at me, or I haven't seen it. But if you're looking for something big, I would take a look at the TaylorMade Stealth and the Ping G425 Max. I think those two are going to be pretty decent size, probably two of the larger that I can think of. Again, somebody may make a comment or whatever that there's something much larger out there. There may be, but in terms of mainstream, whatever stuff, you know, I haven't seen everything from like the JDM side or anything like that, but from the, you know, the core amount of clubs that I've seen, I would kind of put those two in the larger size for 5-woods. So before we get to the next question, also want to let you know this episode brought to you by Superstroke and experience confidence that's inspired more than 40 professional wins so far this year. Superstroke putting grips combine cutting-edge technology with innovative materials to deliver unbeatable consistency you can feel in every putting stroke. You've already seen Superstroke in the winner's bags week in and week out, but you've got to feel it to believe it. Get in the know at SuperstrokeUSA.com. So check the old Superstrokes. I actually put a Superstroke on a grip. I haven't put a Superstroke in a long, long time. I put one on the old trusty, rusty Bettinardi. So I put on a Pistol GT 1.0, and I do have to say, it's interesting because the whole reason I did it was I put it on just because my right hand was just influencing the putts too much. I was just the right hand, especially on like those like 5-foot par putts that are pretty straight, or even if they're not, even had a little break, I would almost like take the putter back just a little bit, and then I would through acceleration, I would just kind of, the right hand would just kind of like try to add a little extra to get it to the hole. It's probably called the yips, but I'm not going to call it that. But I was having an issue with that, and I would miss everything left. So I was just, you know, I try to like maybe even claw it sometimes, whatever. And if I could get the right hand out of the swing, I was all right. But I actually went, and I was like, well, let's try it. It's a little bigger grip. So I went out, and I bought it myself, a Pistol GT 1.0, and put it on. And I do have to say, I've had a lot fewer. I can only think of like maybe one or two putts. I've had it on for probably about 3 weeks. I put it on right before I went to my guy's golf trip. And I do have to say, I think I can only think of like two or three putts that have actually done the same thing and kind of yipped it on. The only thing I'm struggling with is I don't quite, whatever the feel is of that bigger putter, I'm leaving a lot of putts short. I'm not quite getting them to the hole, but I'm hitting great lines. So and I've had much fewer of that kind of like right hand influencing the putt. So interesting little change that I kind of forgot about, but have put a Pistol 1.0 in the bag. All right, so let's see. T-Cub 0317. Have you taken the TSR Woods to the course, and what's your biggest impression so far? So I have got them out. I played 18 last week. I played with them in my 9-hole league the week before. I think I just got them right before that. So I think I played 27 holes with them, and I'll play a little bit more with them this week. And so far, super impressed. I think they're really, really good. I think the shaping, you know, like the TSR2 is really solid. I mean, as you saw from, I think, my unboxing video, I got fit into basically all TSR2. But really love the shapes. I think they really made them. They look really good. The TSR2 especially, I think, is going to fit a lot more players' eyes. I know everybody kind of jumped at the 3 because of that shape. I think the 2 and the 3 are a little closer now. There's still a little difference. The 3 is still a little more rounded in the rear. But the forgiveness and stability on kind of all the models is really good. But the 2 is just as forgiving or just as stable as anything else I have. And the ball speeds are really, really the ball speeds are really good. The sound and feel are definitely solid. But yeah, I mean, overall, I'm super impressed. The 3 wood has been really good. I don't know if it's hit like the magic unicorn status of like my old XR16 yet, but I will say that it's probably neck and neck with my Sim 2 Max right now in terms of how well I'm hitting it. Now, granted, it's 27 holes and a Sim 2 Max has been around for a year and a half or almost 2 years now, but I've hit it really well so far, especially off the tee. And then I put a 5 wood in the bag too. That is an absolute cannon. It goes a long way. It's super easy to get up in the air. The fairways are super easy to launch. They go a long way. I mean, they're really a solid line. I don't think it's something that if you play say TSR or TSI and you jump into TSR, will you notice some improvements? Will you notice some differences? I think you will. Is it going to say, you know, empty the wallet and go buy all new woods? I don't know. I don't know if you'll go that crazy with it. I mean, with Titleist, everything is that it's an evolution, not a revolution. So they add changes in that make a difference. They're adding changes that, you know, help increase performance. But it's not totally reinventing the wheel. Like there's nothing, you know, there's no crazy. I mean, I can't get into some of the stuff. So, but anyway, They're really solid. I mean, they really are good. Like I said, I've liked it so far. I definitely am going to put Ventus TR Red into that TSR2 head to see. They didn't have that head when I was doing my fitting, but I definitely want to hit that shaft in the head. But so far, they've been really good. The three wood is probably gamer ready. The driver is a decent battle between Stealth and it right now. So pretty close, but they're really good. It'll be exciting to see what you guys think of them when they come out and you're able to hit them. All right, Jonathan Ballingham. Again, man, I'm just butchering names. I shouldn't have even done names, but whatever. CT Tour putter shaft, graphite, or BGT stability? So CT Tour would be a KBS CT Tour shaft, a graphite putter shaft, or a BGT stability. You know, it all depends. I think it's going to come down to price, feel. Price and feel are the two things I kind of think of. The CT Tour putter shaft is a great putter shaft. I think it's a really good upgrade from most traditional steel putter shafts. And the reason I say that is everybody's a little different on what they like the feel of. And a traditional steel shaft to me is a little softer, has a little more, I don't want to say whip, but has a little more flexibility to it. And it's going to feel pretty nice through most putting strokes. If you're somebody who has kind of a slower takeaway, better tempo, a little slower tempo, I think those standard steel putter shafts probably feel really good. And then if you're somebody who's got more of like that jabby little kind of pop stroke type thing, you know, some of these new stiffer products out there can definitely aid in feel. You know, now everybody asked, is it worth it? Are you going to make more putts? You know, is a $300 putter shaft going to make more putts? And I don't think that necessarily is the case. I mean, there's definitely studies, there's tons of engineering stuff about how these stiffer shafts are definitely, the putter heads stay basically on target longer. They don't twist as much, stuff like that. Does that necessarily make you make more putts? I don't know. For me personally, I like the feel of these shafts. I like that little stiffer feel. I don't have a crazy great tempo in any club in my bag, but putter I'm still a little quick with as well. But I like that stiffer feel of the shaft. I like the fact that as I take it back or bring it forward, you don't either see the head kind of move through the stroke or you just, you know, you don't feel it move through the stroke. It kind of stays exactly where it is. So for me personally, I really like that feel. So KBS's CT, the BGT stability, and then some of the graphites I haven't hit a couple of them, unfortunately, yet. But I like the feel of that. I like that stouter, stiffer feel. So for me, out of all of them, I really like, and like I said, I like them all. I've played them all, like the ones you name. I haven't played LA yet. I've got an Acura one on the way, but I've played a couple of the BGTs. I played the original Stability, which they don't make anymore. I played the Tour, the Polar. So I played a handful of those. But for me, I like the Fujikura, the MC115 the most. I play the firm one in my putter, which is a little bit stiffer than steel. They make an extra firm, which is like unbelievable rebar. It just does not move. And then they make an actual smooth, which is super flexible. Both of them are super, all three actually are really consistent. I have all three of them, and it's amazing that even the smooth, as flexible it is, the putter head doesn't, it still stays aligned. It still stays pointed at the target, which is kind of amazing because it's so flexible. But I like the firm. That's the putter shaft I got in my Bettinardi, my BB8W. So that one is the one that I like the best. But I'm a big fan of Stability. I've got that in my Mez 1. I've had Stability Tour and a couple other putters. I think it's a great shaft. I think the CT Tour is one of those, if you don't want to spend the $200+ on those Graphite or Stability or whatever those models, which I totally get. I mean, if I was not in golf the way I am right now, I would probably play the KBS. I think it's a great combination of it's a little bit stiffer, it's got good feel, and it comes in at like, I think they're like $35 or $40. So, depending on your wallet and whatever, all of them are great options. They're just going to offer a little bit different feel. I think the Fujikura is the softest. Again, I haven't hit the LA or I've got an Acura one coming here shortly. But the Fuji to me is a little softer. The BGT is probably right after that. But I really like the stiffness, the feel of that BGT. And then the CT Tour is kind of a little bit of each world. But no, they're really good options if you're looking for something different, to change up the feel or something like that in your putter. Matt will go. Have you tried the Edison wedges? I have not. We got a set in probably like 3 years ago now. They sent us a set, and a guy from the office grabbed them because he wanted to try them, and I was not able to. So I kind of like had them in my hand, looked at them in the office. They're really interesting. They're a little different design. From what I've heard, the guy who was playing them really did like them. Said that they especially shots when you're square, you're keeping the club face square to the target. Said are really good, really easy. I mean, it really shines there if you're somebody who kind of pitches and chips that way. If you're somebody who's not trying to hit super flop shots and all that, if you're kind of playing the club square and kind of either bump and running or kind of playing those pitch and chip wedge shots that are square to the target, they work really, really well. They have good spin to them. They look like they're really high quality wedges, but I unfortunately have not hit them. Like I said, they look good. They're definitely a little different. I mean, they look different than like a Vokey or a Cleveland or a Callaway, something like that. But they definitely have some use for them. And like I said, for people looking for something that's just consistent that they can, hit those, like I said, kind of pitch and chip shots of the square face. I think they're definitely worth looking into to try out. Steve Spiro, can you bend cast irons 716 TMBs 1 degree flat? Yeah, you should be able to bend them flat. Anything that's cast, it'll be a little firmer, a little bit harder. And any multi-piece heads, I know you always kind of get a little worried about, but 1 degree should be fine. The only thing you don't want to mess with is there was some old like Callaway Warbirds that had titanium inserts in them that had you didn't want to bend those. Any of the Cleveland gunmetal stuff back in the day, the TA series stuff that was gunmetal would wrinkle. The finish wouldn't hold up to bending. But 1 degree flat should be fine. Some casts, from what people say, will have a little bit of memory to them, and they'll end up going back a little bit. I don't know specifically TMBs if that's the case, but 1 degree flat, 1 degree with most clubs you should be fine with. Do you think a 15 handicap, a 15 plus setting, this is Josh LaSelva, again, totally tearing up names, but do you think a 15 plus handicap should get fit? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who say, well, I'm not a scratch golfer, I can't deliver the club the same way every swing, and that's true. I mean, we can. I mean, even if you're a single digit, you're not going to deliver it the same way every time. But you have tendencies, you have an overall swing that's going to deliver the club head to the ball for the most part in certain ways. So that fitting, we'll take a look at that, and it'll show what, you know, what setup works best for the way you deliver the club and what set offers you the launch characteristics that you need in order to hit the ball more consistently and better. And if you talk to any fitter out there and say who sees the most benefit, a scratch player or a high handicap, they will tell you the high handicap every time. Because they say like a scratch player can kind of adapt, and they have to be careful with what they, how many shots they hit. If they hand like a scratch player a club, they can only let them hit like two or three balls, because then they'll start adjusting their swing to hit it well. So they got to take it out. And yeah, 15 plus handicap for sure, you'll see a benefit. Like I said, I mean, you're going to have, you know, even if you sit there and you go, oh, I hook it and I slice it, I hit it all over the place, there's still some tendencies of how your swing is and how you deliver the club head to the, or club to the ball. So a good fitter is going to look at that and be able to at least get you dialed into something that works with those parameters. And you'll probably find more consistency and more distance with whatever they put in your hand. So definitely, I think. And the other side of that too is, you know, go get a wedge fitting from somebody. I mean, you're probably, if you're a 15 plus handicap, I mean, let's see how you deliver the wedges. I was shocked when I recently found out that I'm usually steep with a lot of stuff, but my 60 degree wedge, I'm like actually really flat in terms of delivering it to the club, to the ball. So I found that like I've been using that tee grind a lot from the Vokey, and it's worked pretty decently. And part of that is because when I was, you know, talking to somebody, they were like, well, yeah, you're not steep with the 60, especially if you're trying to open the face and hit one a little higher. It's like you really deliver pretty shallow. So, there's things that you will definitely find out about your swing that you didn't know, and you'll get fit into some product that that fits those tendencies and that swing that you have. So definitely 15 plus. I'd say if you're any, you know, handicap, definitely if you're looking to buy a new product, why not go get fit? And if you're going to spend the money and invest in brand new clubs that are not cheap, you know, we'll admit it, why not go out and get fit? So, and then I'll do the last one, Brett Manning, 11, TSR with a bunch of explanation marks. Yes, TSR, we're going to see up here pretty soon. We're getting a lot more details here really soon. And I think people will be really excited. And when you're able to hit them at your local shop, club, whatever, they're definitely worth taking a few swings with. So, Titus did a great job with them. I think people are going to be really excited. I think people are going to be find a lot of success with the new TSR stuff. So I'm excited for you guys to learn more and all that and be able to share some more with it as well. I'm pretty excited for that. So that's coming up soon, not too long from now, but it is coming. So I think that's all I've got today. Like I said, it's kind of a weird week for me, so I apologize if this is kind of a phone-it-in episode. I'm trying to make it as interesting as I can with having some weird life situations go on, but I'm all good. So anyway, hopefully you guys have a good weekend. Like I said, it's Labor Day. Hopefully you have a little extra time off to spend with family, friends, play a little golf, whatever you want to do. And follow me on at Club Junkie Pod on Instagram. If you want to watch this on YouTube, which this one looks like I'm doing it from like a hospital room, it's so sterile. If you go to Golf the Rex Radio on YouTube, all of TG2 and all of Club Junkie are on there. So if you want to watch it, if you want to see my ugly face, there you go. But that's all I've got today. Like I said, hope you guys have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll talk to you guys next week.